Sagt der Heilige Mishnah weiter, Masechtes Erechin, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph. Shum Hayisaimim, Shloishim Yoim. So basically, we've already seen in the previous Mishnayos that if someone is Magdish something, the Gizber, the treasurer of Hegdish, is going to sell the property and use the money for Bedek HaBayis, general upkeep in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah is going to give us some more details exactly how it's done. And as a hagdama to that, as the derech of Mishnayos is, Mishnah is going to give us a similar idea. If there is a Baal Chayv who has a claim against Yisaimim, in other words, their father, the father of the orphans, owed him money, and there are various different halachais, but under certain circumstances, Bezin has an obligation to take from the nechasim that the Yisaimim yarshined and return the Chayv. That, of course, is a taiva for the father. It's not good to come up to Shemayim owing people money. So Bezin will sometimes have to go into the nechasim of Yisaimim, sell it, and pay off the chayv. How do they do that? So the Mishnah, Shum HaYisaimim Shloishim Yom. The assessment that Bezin is going to make on this property is going to be a 30-day process. For 30 days, they're going to advertise the property before the sale, and of course try to get the best price. What's the point of 30 days? It just gives a lot of time for people to hear, oh, let me go buy this property. Maybe I can buy it. The more people that are there, the greater the chance the price is going to go up. And the Batrum makes it clear that these announcements have to be very detailed. Where the property is, where the borders are, how much grain it produces every single year. Now they can do this 30 days straight, or says the Batanura, for 60 days, they can call it out every Monday and every Thursday. Even though, if you make a cheshbon for 60 days every Monday and Thursday, you're not going to have a full 30 days, but it's still better because it drags it out more, so there's a greater chance more people will show up. And again, the more people that show up and show interest, because of the law of supply and demand, the greater the chance the price is going to be higher. Vayitra says the Mishnah Veshoma, Hegdish Shishim Yoim. Let's say we have land over here that the Gizber of Hegdish has to appraise and sell. So he's going to advertise that property 60 days. Now the halacha is, if I am Magdish, a field that I purchased, so it depends how much it's worth. That's the only cheshbon. There's no other formula. So how do we figure out how much it's worth? You know, if you sell something right, you can get the maximum amount from it. So the Mishnah says they have to advertise it for 60 days. Now, in both cases, both by the Yisaimim as well as by Hegdish, they announce the sale both in the morning and in the evening for either 30 or 60 days. Why in the morning and in the evening? So the Batanura explains. They announce it in the morning. So if someone is an interested buyer, he's going to come to work and he's going to ask some of his workers on the field, do me a favor. Can you go take a look at that property? And they announce it again in the evening to remind the buyers, Oh, yeah. Hello, Reb Worker, Reb Chaim, I told you to go check out a property, did you? Weiter sagt der Heilige Mishnah, Hamagdish Nechasav, if someone is Magdish, is Nechasim, Vahoysal of Ksubas Isha. But wait a second. He owed money to the Ksuba of his wife. In other words, he was married. And this property was supposed to be a guarantee. There was like a lien on the property to pay out his wife's ksuba if they were to get divorced or he would pass away. So in a way, he had no right to be magdish the property. This is supposed to be a guarantee for his wife. She's relying on this. Lemaisa, if they do get divorced or he dies, she's going to come to collect her ksuba from this property even though he was magdish it. Well, let me tell you what Chazal were worried about. Let's say someone is in the mood, is Magdish's property for Hegdish? I totally give it away to Hegdish. Then he goes, What do I do? I want to change my mind. How can I get out of this? So he calls in his wife. He says, we're going to do a trick, okay? I'm going to divorce you. You're going to come say, I need the property back for my ksuba. She gets the property back. He remarries her. He can do so if he's not a kayan. And they can continue using the property together. So how can we protect Hegdish from this plot, from this conspiracy? So zakt de heilige Mishnah hamagdish nechasav. As we continue over here, Masechta Zerich and Perik Aleph Mishnah Vav, if someone is magdish all his properties, and Lamaisa, there was a ksub over here, and part of the property was like pledged to his wife's ksub in case she needs it. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kishia Garshena, if he suddenly decides to divorce her afterwards, no, we're not going to let you make any tricks over here. Yadir Hano, he's going to have to make a neder, assuring himself to have any and all from his wife. In other words, he's not going to be able to remarry her. So now he's going to think twice about doing it. His whole point is he's going to divorce her. She's going to collect the ksuba. He's going to remarry her. They're going to have it. But if he can't remarry her, obviously he won't do it. So Zok Rabbi Eliezer, that's the Eitzah. You are Magdish, you're in Chasim, and now all of a sudden you want to divorce your wife? No. First, Yadir Hana. You're going to have to make this neder. Rabbi Shua says, ain't it tzarech. He doesn't have to make such a neder. Because, Lamaisa, if someone had charata, that he was Magdish's property, he doesn't have to go through such a complicated plot to divorce his wife. She should collect the ksuba, then he should remarry her. There's a much easier solution. You go to a chacham and you ask the chacham to be matter the neder. Now the Batrun explains, here's where the machloikis is. Rabbi Eliezer holds, you can't do it. If you went to a chacham and you say, no, it was a mistake, I didn't mean to do it, the chacham is not matter the neder. Rabbi Eliezer holds that if he could show it was a mistake and he didn't mean to do it, so then the chacham is matir the neder and he gets back his property. Because hegdish abitos le have a hegdish. So he doesn't have to make a neder that he'll never take back his wife. You're worried he has to plot his way to get it back? He has a very simple way of getting it back. Goes to the Chacham, says the whole thing was a mistake. Zok the Heilige Mishnah Vaita. Ki Yaitza Bay in a similar vein. Omer Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel says, Af ha'orev le'isha b'ksibasa. Let's say someone signed as an orev for a woman's ksuba. We have a Yid Reb Shalom. Shalom wants this woman to get married. He says, don't worry. Chas v'shalom, something happens, you're going to be supported. Your husband will pay out your ksuba. And if he doesn't, I'll guarantee it. Don't worry about it. V'yabayla Magarsha, and her husband is taka divorcing her now. And he doesn't have any way of paying the ksuba. So now we're going to come back to Reb Shalom. We're going to say, ah, Reb Shalom, you were such a tzaddik. You signed, you're going to be an arayv. Guess what? Now you have to pay. So here's what we're scared of. How do we know this whole thing is for real? Maybe the husband did the same thing over here that we were worried about in the case of Hegdish. Maybe he told his wife, ooh, do I have an idea? I'm going to divorce you. I don't have money to pay the ksuba. If Shalom signed the arvus, he's going to have to pay. Then I'm going to remarry you. We're both going to have his field. So therefore, Yadir Hana, the husband has to make a vow. He has to make a neder, assuring himself to benefit from his wife ever again. This way, he won't be able to remarry her. And only if he does that, are we going to make Reb Shalom pay for it. If not, we're going to have to protect Reb Shalom over here. If we don't make him make this neder that's going to prevent him from taking back his wife, Shemayasa Kinunya, maybe the husband, who really doesn't want to divorce his wife, maybe he has this secret plot that's a kenunya, a conspiracy, al nechas of Shalzeh, in order to get Reb Shalom to have to pay it out. So he's going to divorce her. He has no money. She's going to collect it from Reb Shalom. Then v'yachzer es ishta. After they get the field out of Reb Shalom, the husband's going to remarry his wife, and he's going to enjoy Reb Shalom's property. So to protect Reb Shalom from such a plot, he forced the husband, says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, to make this neder that don't try this, because you're going to get stuck. You won't be able to remarry your wife afterwards. Okay, chazing over our Mishnah. The Mishnah told us, if Bezin does have to collect from Yesoimim. In other words, the father owed money, and then he passed away. In certain instances, Bezin is going to collect it from the Yesoimim, but we want to make sure that they get a good price for it. That what we take from the Yisayim to sell is going to cover the chayv. Yisayim shouldn't have to sell anything extra. So they're going to appraise the land, and they're going to make an announcement with all the details for 30 days. They say we'll get the most people to the auction, and hopefully we'll get the best price. The Batuna told us they can also do it for 60 days every Monday and Thursday. When the Gizber sells something for Hegdish, he does it for 60 days. In both cases, they make the announcement both in the morning and in the evening. Do you remember why? So when a person hears the announcement, he should tell his field workers, do me a favor, go check it out. Maybe I want to buy it. And when they hear the announcement in the evening, he'll remember and he'll say to his workers, did you check it out, Taka? Then we learned like this. If someone is Magdish is Nechasim, but he had a Ksuba. So really, if he divorces his wife can come and say, I'm sorry, you have no right to give it to Hegdish. Now let's say that Taka happened. What we're scared of is it's a trick. He doesn't want to separate from his wife. He's just divorcing her as a trick. She's going to collect the field that he was Magdish, and he's going to remarry her. They're both going to have the field. So Rabbi Eliezer, no, he's going to have to make a neder in such a way that he can't remarry her, so he won't be able to do this trick. Rabbi Yeshua says it's not necessary, because if he wants the property back, he can go to a chacham and say it was a mistake. In a similar vein, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel taught us that in our mashal, we had Rabbi Shalom, who guaranteed the ksuba. He told the woman, don't worry, if your husband can't pay the ksuba, I'll pay it. So what are we worried about? Maybe the husband's going to make a trick over here. He doesn't have any money to pay the ksuba. He'll divorce his wife. She'll run to Reb Shalom, get the field from him. Then the husband remarries her. And they're going to laugh at Reb Shalom. Ha ha, we have your field. We tricked you. So in order to prevent this, says Reb Shimon Gamliel, we're going to say, no, no. Reb Shalom is not going to pay nothing until you first make a neder that's going to prevent you from remarrying your wife. And that's going to stop him from doing this trick.